everyone, and welcome to Evaluate, where we discuss straight dating sims from a gay perspective.
We're your co-hosts, Air.
And Madeline.
And today, May 4th, I have to apologize for sounding like a frog trapped in a well. My microphone decided to break again, so sorry about that. Also, sorry for this episode. This route. This man. Man. Human man. Boring old man.
In some ways, it is a relief from cannibalism.
Yeah, you know what? It's not Ignis's route.
Yeah. But it's also not Ignis.
I love Ignis.
And it's super not Eel.
And it's super not Eel. I love Ignis. I wish he had any other route.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not Miser's route.
Yeah, not that one.
Anyway, so, Rindo. Kaoru Rindo. You might have heard us refer to him as a special agent, as a boring old man, as a weirdo. He's introduced as the mature special agent, but I guess not mature enough to date a woman his own age, so...
Certainly not.
By the way, the character artist worked on a dating sim specifically for, like, romancing older men, so you'd think that the artist would make a more attractive sprite or anything for Rin. He looks ugly.
No, they put all of their powers into Kotone's sexy grandpa.
True. I still think there's something there. If this weren't a dating sim and you were instead exploring the relationship between your grandpa and his regulars as an exploration of grief and all of that, there could be something there, but whatever. Let's go into this. So, we've talked about the weird prologues that start up before each route.
Since we're on our third time through, it's quite a bit longer this time.
Mm-hmm.
It shows some fucked up ash planet and some narration from somebody. We're not going to find out who that is for, another two routes, so. It says, when was it? When he came here? I believed it would be the same at first, that he would just die like the others had. Half of them would perish in a few hours. 1 in 10 would survive half the day. No one survives a full 24 hours. I really believed this would be the same. Wishful thinking was a pattern of the past. Still, one day, 5 days go by, then, finally, 10 days pass. He was still alive. Though he struggled and writhed in pain, he still survived. I was happy. I experienced a miracle thought to be impossible. There were so many times I tried to tell him, to thank him for surviving. To say we were both the same. Survivors. It's okay that the feelings are one-sided. The fact that someone is in my same position. That's all I need. It's all I really needed. So just put a pin in that. We're not getting into that at all again in this route.
Just put a pin in there. Save it for later. Anyway, so you might remember all of the common route. Sorry. Listen, after Kotone has met, everyone else in the beginning of the game, you know the general sort of everyone bursts out of the gate, etc., etc. Yeah, explaining different worlds. Has a night sleeping on it in a different hotel. But on her way back to the cafe, Kotone is interrupted by a pen rolling towards her in the street. And that pen belongs to a man. A normal human man who has dropped his pen like a 15-year-old in class trying to get the attention of someone. This is super normal. This is a normal way for adults to interact.
Come over to my running vehicle.
Come over to my running vehicle that I dropped my pen by for some reason. He doesn't even have anything that he's interacting with a pen. Who comes out of their car and immediately, like, uses a pen?
And dropped it hard enough for it to just go rolling across the street.
Oh, were you writing up a ticket, cop? Ugh. Anyway, so she hands him the pen, and he asks if he can ask her a personal question, which is also definitely not weirdo behavior.
Not at all.
And then asks her to go to a nearby cafe with him. Just batting 1,000 here on that being a creepy old weirdo. Anyway, at least Kotone recognizes that this is weird and coercive, and ma'am, he sure wants to talk to her where the rest of the regulars won't hear him.
Great first impression, dude.
Great impression.
I'm not anyone to be suspicious of, okay? Kotone Iwaki.
I love full naming random strangers to prove that I know their name.
And they don't know mine. Just so you know, I was an acquaintance of your grandfather's, another regular at Enchante. I'm Kaoru Rindo, an ordinary human.
Then what good are you?
Yeah, what fucking good are you? Also, who says that?
Anyway, he talks about, like, Kotone is already being influenced by those annoying non-humans, and it's like, man, what the fuck?
And then you have the, like, you have the gall to be annoyed when they talk like they don't like you.
It's like, why don't they like me? Maybe because you said they're freaks in human clothing beyond the reaches of what's considered normal. What the fuck's wrong with you, man?
Like, they're the like... first time I played the game, this pissed me off. How is this supposed to charm anyone who's already dated 2 of the non-humans?
They're people.
I'd be worried to send a sweet girl like you to a place where such creatures gather. Fuck off!
Man, like, fuck allegorical racism when, like, real racism exists and things like that, but it's still just fucking weird to have this character just swan in and go, like, oh yeah, all of these people are freaks and you can't trust them. And, okay, spoiler for this route, there's going to be, like, a tragic backstory because there always is. Whenever this happens, there's always, whenever there is allegorical prejudice or allegorical bias against a group, you know it's going to be executed badly, and you know there's going to be like, but actually, there's a tragic backstory behind it. Isn't it so sad?
Yeah, move along, Zootopia.
Move along, Zootopia.
Even him interrupting the attack on Enchante is so fucking boring. He's just like, alright, boys, pack it up. I promise I didn't tell him to do this. I promise.
I promise I didn't tell all the other guys to attack you.
And he didn't, but still.
And then he immediately follows it up with, my job is to protect sweet girls like you from the big and scary non-humans. What the fuck?
If any non-humans here ever give you any trouble, please remember to call me, okay, my little shopkeeper?
This is so...
Oh, golly gee, mister, I sure will.
Ugh.
Stop talking to her like that. Gugh.
Now, there are so many layers of weird. Again, there's the, like, allegorical prejudice layer that's just sort of saturating this whole mess. There's the, like, weird, like, I don't...
Paternalistic
measure of it. There's also, like, so Madeline and I have both worked in the service industry, and there is nothing worse than when an older man tries to talk to you in this way when you are on the job.
Yep.
It sucks so much.
Really giving me vibes of that guy who asked about the call center dress code.
Oh! Why are older men at call centers always the worst? Ugh. Anyway, stop talking to her like that. Ugh. Anyway, Canis thinks that Mizar and Rindo make a good pair since they're the ones who are weirdest about...
Wait, hang on, sorry. That is not his reasoning.
I know.
That is Canis, my reasoning.
Yeah, sorry. I misread it. Listen, oh it's God, 9
those,
p.m.
Those are some words to put in Canis's incorporeal mouth.
No, sorry. Sorry. It's 9 p.m. I'm misreading some notes. But, so... Canis is like, haha, Mizar and Rindo are two
freaks.
Peas
I don't
in a
respect
pod.
Either of you people. Okay.
Anyway.
No, Canis just thinks that when they're like arguing with each other, that they're actually a good match or whatever.
Yeah, they are the two that are like weirdest about Kotone. Mizar's. Like, we haven't talked about it much, but Mizar has, like, some weird flirtatious lines that just sort of come out of nowhere and are just kind of weird. And Rindo also, as we've talked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine, because, like, the entire reason I noted Canis thinking they were a good pair was so I could editorialize about how they're weird. I just didn't expect you to say, oh, Canis said that.
I misread it. I'm sorry.
You promise?
I promise.
And on top of everything else...
You're gonna make me revert to, like, the fucking woo voice.
You already did. On top of everything else, Rindo has committed the grave sin of being boring as hell.
He's so boring. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. I need... Okay. This is not related to the route, but it is the original sin. It is the thing I cannot forgive. It is the thing that makes me burn with hatred and sear. Each capture target, each man you can romance, they have like fun little fan service interview things you can access through the menu after you romance them.
Oh yeah, I keep forgetting to read those.
And I read pretty much everyone except Rindo's, but Madeline and my mutual friend was like, I gotta do this. I know you never will, so I have to read Rindo's shit. And I was like, you are braver than anyone for doing this. Don't tell me anything unless it's funny, though. And he told me something that very much was not funny, but I guess I needed to know.
Oh no.
Which is that.
Oh no.
Rindo loves tokusatsu. Rindo likes Sentai and Kamen Rider. And for this,
no.
I cannot forgive him. I cannot forgive him.
No.
That's mine! That's mine! How dare you stand there? How dare you? Oh. Also, he has the audacity. He has the fucking audacity to go, oh, you know, it's not just kids' shows, you know? Like, of course you fucking say this. Of course you fucking say this. Listen, I might like tokusatsu, but at least I'm not sitting here going like, oh, it's for adults. Like, no. You will sit down and you will enjoy this children's media and you will admit that it is children's media. Anyway, I hate this man. And
yeah.
He's taken everything from me.
Yeah. So when they're all... When,
he's when, taken everything.
Are you
I kidding? Bet you... I cannot get distracted saying... I can't just say things that will only make sense to me and maybe two other people listening going like, oh, I bet your favorite Kamen Rider is... No, I can't do this. I'm
oh,
still
going
it, to
though?
Attack it. His favorite Kamen Rider, I bet it's Gaim. I bet you fucking like Gaim, you bull...
Anyway.
I bet you like the ending of Gaim. I bet your favorite writer is Kaito. Anyway, sorry. Okay. We'll get back to this.
We will, actually. So, that's Air's whole thesis on this route. So, when everyone's talking about their age, look forward to it. When everyone's talking about their ages and Rindo goes, oh, I turned 42 this year. Kotone goes, oh, that's pretty normal. And then all the regulars go, yes, Rindo is a normal middle-aged man. Indeed, a normal middle-aged man. Yep, just a normal middle-aged man. He says, do you have to keep saying that? My charm doesn't come from my age, okay? Yet you won't shut the fuck up about it.
I think his charm is supposed to come from his age. Like, just judging by it.
Like, that's literally how they market him. It's like the mature special agent. He's old and he's a cop.
I think, yeah, like, and neither of those things are appealing to us, so we're just, like, shit out of luck.
He's old enough to be the main character's dad, and he's a cop.
Sucks ass.
Anyway. After the extremely good and fun shopping trip with Canis, Kotone goes out to eat with Rindo. And, okay. the game flashes back to that morning with Kotone going over a long to-do list. When Rindo realizes that it's just Kotone and Eel in the cafe, he says, if I don't have to deal with those loudmouths, it's my lucky day. It can be nice and quiet when all of you are gone. And Eel says, Rindo, do I count as being one of these people you speak of? I'm always playing games quietly. I have no recollection of being interested in you or having any desire to speak with you. Yo, it's inhuman how harsh you can be. Indeed, I am not a human.
I love Ill
fucking
so much.
Fucking get him!
I love Ill.
I also Ill have no recollection of being interested in Rindo or having any desire to speak to Rindo.
Truly. This is the ND coding that we are looking for. we'll get to it. I love you, Eel.
Soon.
Every day you are not here aches like a wound in my heart. Okay. Rindo thinks Kotone is working too much and not getting enough sleep.
And then, Mizer comes in and says, oh, I see a bad man trying to woo our princess. Is it time to get rid of him, perhaps? Okay, don't make threats you're not going to keep. And Rindo says, unfortunately, this bad man is the only one here who shares her values.
You're making a lot of assumptions here, dude.
Yep. I'm trying to remove it.
I'm trying to fix it. After confirming that Kotone has barely been sleeping, Mizer and Rindo tell Kotone to take a day off, and Mizer, traitor that he is, tells Kotone to go out and enjoy some fresh air with Rindo. Sorry, I'm groaning in advance because Madeline quoted the worst fucking So Rindo says, actually, it's a wish come true getting direct approval from these men to be able to go out on a date with you.
Why do you need their approval, you patriarchal son of a bitch?
Mizer, just please stop threatening me with a good time. Just burn him alive. Just do it. Just get rid of him. I don't want it.
I know you can do it. I know you can.
I know you can get rid of him. Please. 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 I can fix him. I can burn him alive.
Hashtag feminism.
Hashtag feminism. Ugh. So, again, he makes a lot of assumptions. Like, I'm surprised you're getting along with the non-humans, Kotone. Just like your grandpa. It must be in your blood somehow. It would be pretty crazy for a normal person. Just getting used to it is tough. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? Get me out of here. Every time I'm in his fucking car, I'm like... frantically, like, if I were in Kotone's shoes, I would be, like, frantically, like, clicking at the lock, like, can I, how fast is this going?
Rindo asks about her hobbies, and she's like, reading, cooking, and listening to music by artist. And the narration says they talk about her hometown and other things, but we don't actually get that conversation, because that would be too alienating.
We've talked a little bit about this, but it is so wild that we have so many times where we step outside Kotone's point of view, and there are times in which, in some routes, we actually, like, see her sprite as if we are looking at her externally from another point of view, but we don't actually get as much characterization of her. It's very weird, because usually you have that sort of division between there are characters... there are protagonists that you are supposed to sort of observe from an omniscient sort of watching over them like a romance novel, or there's the sort of projecting yourself onto them character. This one, I don't know. Café Enchanté feels like it's kind of trying to have one have its cake and eat it too.
Fitting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ambitious.
Perhaps.
Too ambitious.
And after that enlightening conversation that we don't get to read any of, Rindo basically says, yeah, actually, I already knew all of this personal stuff about you. Oh no, I won't use it for anything bad, okay? The way I worded it just now was, it was because I wanted to be sure you understood the position I'm in. You've shared a lot with me that I already knew, and I thought it best to be equal with you about myself.
I hate him. I want to get out of this car.
Too bad. I figure you're in a similar predicament. Like myself, your position isn't exactly what others might deem as normal. It's hard to believe what I'm saying, huh? I didn't seem like I have a nice opinion of those guys when we first met, after all. You still don't, man. You still talk like you hate them, dude. Like, all the time. Quite recently.
I have such a hard time paying attention to anything he says. Like, I'm reading your own notes right now, and it's slipping through my brain like oil through water. I, like, even with the filter of, my dear beloved co-host wrote this, and, like, put so much effort and detail into cataloging this and writing these notes out, I'm still looking at it, and I'm like, this means... this is word salad to me. It's just sort of disassembling in my brain.
It is funny to hear you say that I put so much care into this when I took several days because I kept stopping to do chores.
Yeah, I think that's even more admirable when you obviously didn't want to do it.
I was like, man, I hate this guy. I'm gonna clean my bathroom.
What's that word for that phenomenon where you look at something for so long and it just sorts of falls, like Gestalterfall or something?
I do not know. I am sorry, I cannot help you with this.
Yeah, shape decomposition, Gestalterfall.
Yeah.
It's apparently a lot more common in, like, in logographic languages, like kanji and things like that, where it's you look at the characters for too long and they just sort of fall apart into their radicals and stuff, going, huh, I cannot interpret meaning from this anymore.
Yeah. Just the closer I got to being done with it, the more I was just like, I'm gonna go deep dive into the visual novel database. I don't want to read this anymore.
We gotta stay strong, because honestly, if we begin to talk about the visual novel database, we'll be talking about all of the fun that's in there, and I think we're going to be distracted by that enough in the
I don't want to misrepresent it. There's a lot of stuff in there that's not fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the visual novel database that is very not fun. But,
so probably don't go in there if you don't know what you're looking for.
Don't go in there if you're not prepared. but don't worry, we'll talk a little bit about the visual novel database and the stuff you find there when I talk about my quest for finding all of Eel's favorite boys in Eel's Route.
I quested on that too, it was fun. You can answer him with, that's not true, or I understand where you're coming from. The guides I referenced agreed this time, so I guess the latter is the correct answer.
I don't understand where he's coming from, so I'm lying.
Well, sometimes you have to. Kotone says, if there's nothing forcing you to be concerned with Enchanté's future, I really want to trust you, Mr. Rindo. And Rindo says, the decision to trust me is yours. Don't force yourself to do so either. Still, there are those who will be working around us regardless of our intentions. I'd like an alliance. Insurance, you might say. Like those GPM subordinates in the past. That's a good example. Humans at this age can be just as troublesome as non-humans. I, like, read what he said there, like, two or three times and could not make sense of what the fuck he was saying. But Katoni then says, I understand. So she's better off than me. And says, I hope I can count on you if I need to. Since we have a moment, want to tell me a little more about yourself, Mr. Rindo? And most of this conversation is also brushed off with the narration, except for Kotone asking if Rindo has any siblings, and he says that he has a little sister. And Kotone asks if he gets along well with her. He says, she's a bit of a cheeky kid, but I guess we got along well.
Listeners, I'm going to warn you in advance. Listeners, I'm going to be shrieking, like, for most of the second half of Rindo's route, I'm going to be shrieking about how we should be dating his sister instead.
I do want to say, while I do soften your shrieking for the listeners, I do get the full brunt of it.
I'm so sorry.
So please consider that.
Consider bringing it down to a reasonable volume.
It's really hard for me to go from the R in Mr. to the R in Rindo. Mr. Rindo's smile was soft and gentle. He must really care about his sister. But Kotone says, but Mr. Rindo, you've been coming to Enchante every day, even on your days off when you're not on duty, right? Do you ever make time for your sister or to go back to your family? He says, I do want to visit, but I'm so busy that it's hard to find the time. You know, you're right. Next time I have a little more time off, I'll head back and visit everyone. Scene. His sister is much cooler than him, though.
His sister is so much cooler than him. Fine. Okay. Anyway, for the grand reopening, Rindo is like, sorry, I'm too old to get excited about I hate him. Anyway.
My charm's not just from my age. Have I reminded you that I'm old today? Have I mentioned that I am old and you are young?
It's the only thing he ever says.
Has anyone heard that I'm middle-aged?
It's like he's an action figure and that's the only phrase he can say.
Kotone, do you understand that I am old? And you are not old. Actually, you are young. And I'm not young. I am old. Do you understand this?
Anyway, when going to see what Rindo is doing for tea party prep, Kotone overhears him talking on the phone, and he's like, no, I'm not gonna let you barge in, you weirdo. Oh, you just want me to get samples of blood from the regulars? Are you trying to say that I should die? Anyway, hang tight. Don't come here. You'll get a detailed report. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he catches Kotone eavesdropping, and Kotone asks if he's talking to a friend, since it seems like he was having fun.
Does it?
We will talk about this later.
Yeah.
Anyway, man, ugh. Let's just say that his relationship with the other party vexes me, and we will talk about this later.
I don't understand it.
We will talk about it soon.
I don't understand. During the tea party, he's like, you've really gotten used to this odd way of living, haven't you? This old man doesn't even know how to feel. See? There he goes again. Everybody quit talking about how old I am. Have I mentioned I'm old?
Ugh. Anyway, he's like, oh, I can't stop worrying. I always have to protect Kotone to make sure she doesn't get used to nefarious ways. And everyone's like, the GPM is so much more fucked up. And he's like, no way, really? Which, again, we're gonna talk about how weird this is.
questionable conduct and threats. In the end, dragging an unarmed, innocent girl around during your raid. Anyone would clearly see those deeds as those of an evildoer.
Yeah, remember how we talked about how the GPM divides non-humans into different groups? So, we have type 1, non-humans, intelligent and capable of speech. Type 2, non-humans, incapable of speech and friendly. Type 3, non-humans, incapable of speech and hostile. The mission of the GPM's combat branch is to subdue and/or deport type 1 non-humans that show malicious intent, and type 3 non-humans.
And Kotone says, according to this, non-humans that are friendly aren't considered dangerous, right? Which Rindo replies with, on the outside, sure, but in the end we can't just let non-humans with immense powers run wild. There are those who conceal their intent tactfully and later exert their powers. And that power that's exerted can be at such a tremendously terrifying scale, capable of taking many human lives. If something happens, if someone gets hurt, if someone dies, humans are so fragile. By that time it would be too late to prevent it, right? And so that's why we can't just let them out free in the wild just because they seem nice. Though I'm sure at a base level, anyone would think positively of them. And I think we did go over in Canis's route that Rindo's disapproval of Mizu's suggestion to visit Mirio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, with regards to the different types, we've talked about this a little bit in the other routes, but it's still fucked up that they're, like, that they're dividing them into speech capabilities and intelligibility and things like that with regards to just... all of this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Fucked up. Anyway, after we talked about in Canis's route, the waterfall dive, and Rindo expressing his concerns again, saying that she should understand how dangerous other worlds can be now. And since Mirio is, it's Media, no, sorry. in Mirio, which is a comparatively safer world.
They did accidentally call it Media once in this.
Oopsie. She still fell over a waterfall.
Yeah. Okay, actual Rindo chapter, which at least introduces a character that we both like.
Karya!
Yes, we kind of discussed this first scene in the first Canis episode, but as a refresher, a teenage boy, Karya, comes to the cafe and Mizu recognizes that he's non-human and says as much. And Karya subconsciously drops the temperature in the room and freezes the water and drinks, slaps his money on the counter, and flees, and everyone berates Mizu for being scary. Kotone tells Canis and Rindo about the incident the next day, and Rindo brings up the crazy genius he works with who is able to stabilize a wormhole to Bestia, and that he will look through the GPM's database concerning the non-human boy who visited Enchantée. He is able to locate him. Katia Abe, age 14, second year in middle school. His body's weak, so he misses school a lot. The reason why he's in here is a changeling. A well-known part of folklore passed down from olden Europe, a phenomenon where a human child that was just born would be taken away by a fairy on a whim and exchanged with a baby fairy. Or at least that's how the human world has come to recognize them. And who should appear while Rindo is doing this research but the other major character of his route, Akira Mikado, the aforementioned crazy genius, who looks like he's 12, but is apparently... I forgot.
He's like in his 30s. He's like 12 years younger than Rindo.
Who runs around in an oversized lab coat with a, stuffed animal. Quote, unquote. We'll get to it.
We'll get to it. Man.
Man.
Anyway, Mikado goes, hey, look at that, working overtime, huh? Ooh, or did you find some... Ugh, I'm not doing this. Anyway, he basically asks... He basically asks if Rindo ran into juicy news. He has a very, his way of speaking is a lot.
I can't help it if non-humans are just that interesting. More important than your trust is my highly treasured brains. In other words, my scientific curiosity is obviously of much higher value. Rindo praises his past self for not taking along this walking disaster of a freak who could barely keep his breathing in check, and also because he knew that the reason this guy wanted to meet and research non-humans was not just because he was curious. He says, "Gosh, you're just so mean, Rindo. Isn't that right, Ku?" And he tilts his head toward and talks to the stuffed animal on his shoulder. Rindo let out a sigh. Moments after, Rindo realized he was making a pretty nasty face. He decided to hold his tongue. Put a pin in that.
You decide to hold your tongue, huh? You decide to... Oh, man. Man. Put a pin in it. We'll put a pin in it.
So...
Oh, man.
Mikado says that this specimen, Katia, is impressive because he's been alive for a while. Changelings are usually at most 5 years. They're not supposed to live in the human world at all. They're mistakenly born here and grow up in the wrong world. If I were to make an example, it's like a human being born in an atmosphere that's just plain toxic to breathe in. So a specimen over 10 years is extremely rare. So why were you looking him up? Can I catch him? Keep him as a subject? Ignoring Mikado and his comment that strayed him further away from humanity, Rindo figures that Katia visited Enchante because his weakened body subconsciously gravitated toward the presence of Medio. The next day, Rindo and Ignis set out to track down Katia, and I'm sure Rindo will continue to do a great job of talking to teenagers in a way that is not suspicious or creepy.
Anyway, he immediately corners Katia in a warehouse and talks to her in a way that is suspicious and creepy. He says, "Don't worry, I'm a friend. You don't need to be afraid." To which Katia goes, says the creepy adult who's trying to sweet-talk me in an abandoned warehouse.
Nailed it.
I can't believe...
Listen, it's complicated, but I just want to talk to you for a bit. That okay, Katia Abe? Personally, nothing engenders trust for me more than a strange middle-aged man who I have never met or spoken to before knowing my full legal name. Why don't you also tell him that you know where he lives? That'll cinch it for sure. Like, has this worked for you before? You keep doing this. Does it usually calm people down when you know their names?
Or all of their activities? He goes into like, "Hey, you visited Enchante, right? I was just wondering why you stopped by there. If it's difficult to say, let me try. You were drawn to that cafe while you were falling ill for some weird..." Like, come on, man! You're just gonna like... Does this work for you?
Do people trust you when you talk to them like this, generally?
Anyway, the temperature in the building continues to drop while he's confronting Katia and says that you're no ordinary human being, but a fairy who was supposed to be born in another world. That's why you're able to control ice. It's okay, I'm your friend. No. No. Nothing you're saying sounds like... Nothing... You're saying sounds reasonable. Katia obviously is getting freaked out by this, and especially when he drops a research thing, he goes like, "We've done a lot of research on fairies, so I'm sure we can..." Katia, understandably freaked out, goes, "Research? You mean you're gonna fucking lock me up and experiment on me?" And he puts forth the idea that he has definitely gone through something similar to that before. And Rindo says that he's not going to give up on him, and even if he doesn't trust him, he'll always do everything he can to protect people like him. Which, he's given no indication he's put effort into before. "I'll always do everything I can to protect people like you." You called the regulars freaks multiple times. The hell are you talking about? Anyway, Katia attacks Rindo. I keep hoping he'll die. Not really, because I think Katia would feel really bad about that, but you know.
Yeah.
I can fantasize.
So, Katia's powers came shortly after he was born, and he was proven to be a non-human by those closest to him, even his biological parents. What happened next was a classic tragedy. Afraid of Katia, even though he was kin, they left him in solitude. He was completely neglected by his own parents. It seemed like there were no decent people in his life. He searched for help, but was persecuted and deceived instead. He ended up being sold into the darkest pits of society. There he could have died at any moment. And there his grandmother realized what happened. She came to save him from his living hell. Shortly after, though, she passed away. His relatives, that couple I'd gone to before coming here, were the ones who adopted and took Kadia in. Even though they knew of his powers, they showed no fear nor pity to him. And Kadia obviously does not want to lose this, and he's pretty freaked out. Ignis bursts in before Rindo loses consciousness in the frozen warehouse, and Rindo catches Kadia when he faints, and Kadia is brought to Medio to stabilize him.
Also, you might have noticed that, like, most of this was from Rindo's point of view.
Yeah.
Like, we have this entire fucking chapter, basically, from Rindo's point of view.
Yep,
pretty much. This chapter of the common route.
Yep.
What the fuck?
Obviously, Kadia initially does not believe this is a different world. Canis tells him that if he stays outside of the fairy world for long, he will die. Titania offers to allow him to live in Medio for his health, and Cotone says that Kadia should not be pushed to make a decision right away. Rindo agrees that now that he has been stabilized, they have more time for him to decide, and he invites Kadia to visit the GPM. The next day, Rindo asks Cotone to come by the GPM to talk to Kadia. You can say, "I'll do whatever I can," or "Are you sure?" But the choice does not seem to matter. And apparently the GPM dates back to the Heian period? Everyone but Eel goes to the GPM, which is the headquarters is a skyscraper with 27 floors above ground and 3 below. The person who greets them at their destination is not Kadia, but rather Akira. And... oh, a shining light in the darkness. The new figure that appeared from the door grabbed Mikado's head with great force.
Judging by
his voice and height, he was a young man around Ignis's age, I think. But his appearance, with his face and entire body covered in a hood and cloth, surprised me a bit.
Hi, bestie!
Hello, bestie! I'm so happy to see you!
Hi, bestie! Oh, the first few episodes of Eel Route, everyone is going to go like, what the fuck are you two talking about?
Oh, I love him. This is Mikado's aide. He says, "Oh, right, you're my aide. Fancy meeting you here." "Contradictory information. You're the one who told me to wait here, Akira Mikado." "Don't worry, I'm no one important here. My job is to be this thing's aide. And unlike this thing, I don't intend to use time recklessly. I've collected all the information regarding Kadia Abe. All you need to do is talk to him." And as soon as he finished his work, the man immediately walked away.
Imagine calling your direct supervisor this thing.
Oh,
God. To his face.
Just a man with something wrong with him. Eels are out.
We love Mikado's assistant. He has so much wrong with him.
A terrible tool that will help us later.
And a horrible, awful tool that will help us later. I'm so glad he's not dateable.
I'm so glad you can't date him.
I'm so glad you can't
date him. I am able to enjoy this character so much more because you cannot date him. Put a route in the fan disc.
Don't fucking put a route in the fan disc. We can enjoy him so much because he's not dateable.
And it turns out Kadia ran away while Mikado wasn't looking. Eel is able to pinpoint Kadia's location and Rindo goes to face him. And you can respond to this with, "Please be careful," or "Don't push yourself." The guide disagrees, so I guess this again does not matter.
So little of what you do in this game matters.
So Cotone and Rindo find Kadia back in the old abandoned warehouse. Reusing of set pieces is another way in which this is a Toku show.
I love Mr. Toei's abandoned warehouse.
Right next to the quarry!
Right next to the quarry!
Changing your life around like this isn't something a boy his age usually deals with. But no matter how much he refuses, he's going to have to first accept the challenge. He's going to have to take that first step. If he doesn't, this all ends here. Beyond that is too sad to think about. So that's why I have to talk to him. As a fellow human being, and as someone who's older. Me being a person with his own regrets and failures. And Katone hangs back while Rindo approaches Karya, draws his gun, and throws it to the side. And he advances while Karya attacks with ice, and almost faints from the cold before Katone calls out to him. He gets closer, Karya screams and raises an arm to defend himself, causing ice to impale Rindo's body.
There's a confrontation where he's like, you've never gone this far before, right? And Karya says, no, I wasn't. And Rindo goes, hey, don't run, look at me. This is one part of your fate. Worse could happen if you don't think about your future. Look at what your power can do. Your life being in danger or where you have to live. None of that matters right now. Take a look at yourself, at who you are. If you don't, you'll just keep repeating this pattern. Next time to someone important to you. And I guess that could be meaningful if the route went in a different direction than what it does. But we'll get to that. Anyway, he says it's true that you could hurt someone close to them. If you keep running like this, something bad could happen before you realize it. There would be nothing that you could do then. You love your parents, right? They know about your powers, and they still accept you anyway. Then all it takes is a little faith. Faith that their son, the one they love, won't change no matter what. And this, again, is a really weird direction to go in when, with regards to literally, Karya needs help to, continue living and stabilizing his condition and accepting parts of himself with regards to, hey, you'll need to accept some level of treatment. It's not really you need to be under supervision in order to not hurt people around you thing. This is a very confused message in this chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Rindo's route in general, honestly. Yeah.
The ice melts and Rindo collapses. The rest of the regulars arrive after he loses consciousness and carry him back to Enchante for Eel to heal him. Katone pours Karya a coffee and talks to him about Café Enchante, where humans and non-humans are all welcome. And Karya says that he doesn't really have any more choice in staying in this world, as his condition is getting worse and he might hurt someone again. Rindo arrives saying that Eel mended his wounds, and asks what Karya wants to do. You can't say that you only have one choice. I told you, didn't I? To believe in yourself. To support the people you believe in. That's a job for adults like me. The owner here and the regulars too. They'll all be here for you. Even with all that, are you too afraid to say what you want? Karya says that he doesn't want to be away from his parents, but he doesn't want to die. But he's more scared of hurting his parents with his power. And he can't choose either one. Rindo says that he'll uphold his promise to support the path that Karya chose. Says your body's non-human, but you're as human as they come. Like Miser said, you're half and half. It's a very rare situation. However, this place on Shantae is half and half, just like you. And Katone asks if Karya wants to help out at the cafe. Contact with the fairy world could improve Karya's condition, even allowing him to go to school. And this will allow Karya to postpone his decision about where he will live. Katone can then prompt Karya with, let's greet everyone, or let's say thank you. The decision doesn't really matter, but it does. The latter does lead to Eel comparing Karya to Ignis, while the former leads to Karya finally noticing that Canis does not have a head.
So, basically, Eel isn't that great of a healer. He just sort of blasts pure power at people. So Rindo's still a little bit tender. Katone helps Rindo up the stairs, asks her if she thinks that if Karya is going to be okay. She goes, that's up to Karya, but she thinks he's found the courage to honestly look at himself. Again, there's kind of a confused message here.
There's a lot of confused messaging around Karya.
Yeah. Anyway, he calls Rindo calls himself a terrible old nut. he's, Like he's making commentary on Karya and like, oh, and he just goes like, I'm just a terrible old nut, only concerned with himself in the end.
Kotone asks if something ever happened to him in the past with non-humans, and he says, I do have regrets toward myself who walked through this world without any cares at all. Don't worry, though, I do think non-humans can be dangerous, but it's not like I hate them or anything, it's just... Sometimes I can't help but think that I could be on a different path right now. Considering he still has a choice, I don't want Katia to have those kinds of regrets.
We'll talk about this later, but I really don't think he ever, like, made any choice, actually. I don't think that Rindo ever, like, made a decisive choice in his past. He's like, oh, I have such regret, and it's like, I...
Never made a decisive choice in his life.
You didn't make a decisive choice! You didn't choose anything! We'll talk about it later. Pin in it.
So during the date of Aunt Anil's chapter, if you select practice pouring coffee, you meet up with Rindo, and he takes her out to a fancy restaurant.
I keep running into this issue where we're, like, talking about things that happen in the common route for Rindo, and I'm like, does any of this matter? Does any of this fucking matter?
So little of it fucking matters.
So little of it matters. Ugh.
Like, this whole day is mostly, like, if this were, like, another character, I would be like, okay, let me, like, just talk about the cute moments, but it's Rindo, so there's no cute moments, so it's pointless.
It's literally him just going, like, oh, you're not used to luxury, are you? And she's like, no, I feel like everyone's gonna yell at me for eating wrong.
Don't worry about it. Just don't. The main thing that you want to, in Miser's chapter, which is the Amaselki Island event, there is some Rindo stuff. One of the most important things to this is that he's protecting these 15-centimeter tall non-humans known as Kuris, which look like Haniwa statues and hate to be called Haniwa statues.
Oh, I will say, sorry to interrupt, one thing from the restaurant scene that I hated is that he says the older you get, the uglier you get when you cry.
No, that's just you.
Anyway.
Your experiences are not universal.
But yeah, Kotone comes back from shopping to find Mikado visiting the cafe and Hass and Karya to see the gate. Mr. Rindo is again on business on Amaselki Island protecting the Kure. He has put out an emergency extraction request, according to Mikado. And Mikado is like, I don't really know the details, but it's Rindo. He's probably fine. Anyway, you, headless knight, please let me examine your body.
At the very least, we get, like, Kotone turning his head all the way around. Like,
yeah.
Shut the fuck up. What happened to Rindo?
The narration is literally, I grab his head, twist his neck hard enough to start making crunching sounds, and after forcing him to face my direction, I smile at him gently. Listen to me closely. What happened to Mr. Rindo? Anyway, so at Amaselki Island, you can say either, I want to go see what's happening, or I'm worried about Mr. Rindo, and we pick the second one because we're pursuing Rindo, I guess, whatever.
And Miser and Anil go to the island.
Yeah, no matter what, you're still alone on the thing. Anyway,
Well, we're not on the island yet.
Yeah, we're not on the island. We're basically left alone.
I guess the scene with Mikado's aid is more relevant to Eel's route than Rindo's, but I like him.
We'll skip it for now. I'm sorry, Madeline.
Anyway, Kotone gets yanked by the gate.
Basically, she feels like she's under compulsion and walks towards the gate, and it sucks her on over to Amaselki Island. So she's awoken on the beach, and she almost encounters a Spartoi. Have we talked about Amaselki Island and the skeleton army?
I think we went over it in Canis's episode.
Right.
So it hasn't been, it wasn't super relevant to Ignis.
Right.
But, like, they're just, like, skeletons.
They're just skeletons, guys.
They're just skeletons.
Yeah. So there's a massive wormhole in the sky. More skeletons rain down. We're in a cave. Everyone's convening in the cave to plan what to do. Grindo's original mission was to come and investigate the wormhole and capture or eliminate the Spartoi, but most of his team sustained heavy injuries and are now standing on by on boats offshore. And Rindo has been protecting the Kure scattered around the island while investigating the wormhole. Rindo asks Miser and Eel to take Kotone back to Enchante, and he is planning to stay and protect all the Kure. Kotone is worried about Rindo being stuck on the island by himself and has the option to say either I want to help somehow or ask Miser and Eel to help. It doesn't super matter. This isn't even Rindo's chapter, but both guides we referenced advised the former with I want to help somehow, so.
Yeah. And then Kotone asks Miser and Eel to help anyway after Rindo says, like, thank you, but, like, trust me. And Miser and Eel agree to stay to protect Kotone and assist with the Kure, and Rindo goes off to hand off the Kure he has secured to his subordinates for safety. And after the appearance of Giant Skeleton Hand, which we will get to eventually, everyone regroups. And the GPM has decided that the entire island is a threat to mankind, so they're just gonna blow it up. They made the call worried about the fact that the Spartoi's numbers are increasing. They might move into the town eventually. They figured that while they're isolated to this island, they take them out in one blow. They've contacted the Air Force and the Navy to deploy their forces. I mean, the skeletons are they even make a point, like, but the skeletons are still going to keep dropping out of the sky even if you blow up the island. It's like, yeah, but they already made the call, so, like,
it's kind of contrived.
Yeah. Most of the conversation is Miser-centric, and in summary, Ill takes down the Air Force while Ignis handles the Navy, while Rindo and Canis run interference for Miser, fighting off the Spartoi while Miser prepares to close the giant wormhole. Rindo takes down several Spartoi with a gun, a knife, and a grenade. And everything that happens from there is Miser stuff. So, we're a little over time, but we did get all the way through the new chiller out this time. Back at the cafe.
We said that it would be a pretty fast one for Rindo.
We don't want to talk about him.
We don't want to talk about him.
Kotone wakes up late at night and goes downstairs and finds Rindo arriving from outside. He says the cleanup of the island's been dealt with for the most part, and he dropped by to report directly to Miser and Canis about some things, but they both already went back to their own worlds. He says in the end, they don't know what that wormhole really was, and the investigation is still in progress. Kotone says, tells him not to push himself and that she'll give him some coffee on the house when he comes back to Enchante.
Is it just me or is every interaction with Rindo just really boring?
Yes, it is. It's not just you. He says that he's so glad that Kotone is safe. I never thought that you'd get caught up in a scuffle with non-humans in the human world. I guess that means there's a bit of danger around the gate here at Enchante. And she says, I'm sorry to make you worry. I'll be careful to not find myself in the same kind of situation again. Telling him indirectly that even if the gate was something dangerous, she still does not intend on leaving Enchante. He says, I'm still going to worry about you, living here at Enchante day to day, but it's not like I can come here daily just to check on if you're safe or not. Oh, that's right. Kotone, I have an idea I'd like to run by you. And he, like, takes out his phone and is like, using this, what do you think about getting along some more with this old man? Could you phrase that any creepier?
And that's it. That's the end. That is the end of the, that, like, literally, that's the end of the common rant.
Yep.
Boring ass.
We did get a couple of questions. At Ceiling's Eyes says, he looks like a venture capitalist. Why is Man-Man? Worse, he's a cop. Worse than a venture capitalist.
I bet he has an investment portfolio.
Probably. His stupid, expensive, minimalist apartment. At the Tactile Pope says, sending the most supportive of vibes during this trying time. I want to know what kind of overly complicated, highly specific coffee order he has, because he looks like he's never respected service industry workers in his life. Also, he looks like he vapes, but not in a funny way. This man would die before he tried any vape juice more adventurous than cucumber water.
Okay, so I think because he is, like, obsessed with going, like, this old man, but also, like, I'm cool. You make me feel so old, but I'm cool, and all of that, I think he is on TikTok. I think he has TikToks, and I think he tries out the TikTok orders that drive baristas wild.
Okay, I was like, how does this relate to coffee?
The thing is, I have multiple friends who work as baristas at Starbucks, and they hate all of the TikTok coffee orders. They're like, this is the worst thing that TikTok has ever done to me, and it happens every single week.
Yikes.
There was one order where I was just thinking of what would be the worst thing to make, and I tweeted it out, like, to a friend in commiseration of, I just casually threw out there, man, one of these days I'm so afraid that someone's going to come in and give you this order, and I listed the most, like, worst thing I could think of, and that friend responded with, Air, I'm so sorry, but also so shocked, I literally got this order today.
Oh my god. Your powers.
I felt so bad. I felt like I had cursed them in reverse.
Man, I want coffee. It's 9 p.m.
You should not get coffee at 9 p.m.
I know.
Oh, I found the actual order that I had made up.
Oh no. Oh no.
Can I get a pink drink with extra fruit cold foam, 3 espresso shots, 5 pumps of syrup, and also can you put that in a blender for me?
I don't know what a pink drink is, but that sounds gross.
Yep.
Huh. At BirdLord5000 says, does he have a mullet?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
I'll be honest, I have a worse mullet than he does, but also I've been quarantined, so...
You're a lesbian, you're allowed.
I'm a lesbian, I'm allowed.
Yeah.
I think Solid Snake would be... he would approve.
Thank you, Solid Snake.
Thank you, Solid Snake.
At @O_Cosmia says, wait, so he's for real a normal man? There's no twist that he's secretly not a normal man?
Well, for now...
I mean, there is no twist that he's secretly not a normal man. There's something that happens later.
There's something.
But it's not like he's not hiding some deep dark secret that he's, like, actually a monster man.
No, he's a man. He's a normal man.
He's just a guy. A normal middle-aged man.
He's a normal middle-aged man.
That was all the questions.
He is so boring.
He's so fucking boring. I hate him.
Maybe the real reason that he hasn't popped up in other routes is just that he is, like, really boring.
Mm. Like, at least the last really boring guy we had to deal with had, like, the positive of being one of the only guys who wasn't a teenager or a freak. Actually, he's the only guy who wasn't a teenager and or freak. So. But Hindo has none of that going for him.
Nope.
He's boring and he's a creep.
At least there's less racism in his route.
Little less. Okay.
Why did he take tokusatsu from me?
He cannot take it from
you. He can't take it from me.
He's not real.
He can't take it from me. In any case, you can follow us at EvaluatePod on Twitter.
You can follow me at DengertMadeline on Twitter.
You can follow me at Dragonomonopoeia without the A.
Have a great day.
Do the best you can.
Don't date
murder boys.